Well, lucky we live in the bush where they don't have any lampposts.
Yeah, but they'll probably have... Well, now they'll probably have some drones. And anyway, the police are now trialling drones. Oh, they're for criminals. Yeah, right, sure, they're for criminals. Who did the GCSB spy on? 88 people, which they did illegally, and then all got away with it without charges. Wait, they were all activists, weren't they? Well, we can neither confirm nor deny that. Well, that's a confirmation of sorts.
What was the G... What was it, GC or GSC or whatever?
GC... Like, you know the GC, the Gold Coast, bro? Yeah. And you know SB, son of a bitch? Basically, the GCSB is the Gold Coast sons of bitches, right? And what they're doing is government surveillance and the security bureau. But
government surveillance.
Something along that. Government unconscionable cunt of scumbaggery disorder agency. Yeah, it doesn't matter. They're the guys who basically intercept all international communications that come into New Zealand in order to check them all out, keyword systems, so on and so forth, data mining in order to get information off of possible threats to the country, people who might be pulling off big crimes and so on and so forth. I mean, in operation for quite a while. The NSA actually has an office in their building. What does that tell you? Okay. So what they've done with the GCSB is they surveilled, I'd probably say this is just the 88 people that were actually caught out on spying illegally. They're probably spying on more as far as I know. Everything that comes from a legitimate source is probably illegitimate. So a whole bunch of activist friends of mine contact the GCSB. They say, hey, was I one of the people you were spying on? They say, no, we can never confirm nor deny that. It's like, isn't that interesting? Why wouldn't you deny? All right. So if you said, no, we weren't spying on you, they'd be like, oh, okay, sweet as. You weren't surveilling an activist that was about to take the government to court in order to sue them for all they're worth. You know, that's good. I'm not being surveilled, because that's why the reason why they're not confirming nor denying. And when you've got laws that are being broken in order to surveil said people without a warrant, that's breaking the law, isn't it? So you should go to jail if you signed that off. John Key signed some off, I'm sure, and all of these other people working at the GCSB, probably somebody's down the track and paper trail signed that off. Are they going to get in trouble for their crimes against the country? Crimes against people's privacy? Crimes in general? No, of course they're not, because they're the crime lords. That's the thing. The government is a bunch of mafioso crime lords, and they're in league with a bunch of mafioso corporate lords. You know, have a look at the Super City, for example. This was just classic. Me, I've been yelling about this for years and years, since before it was even made law. It's run by the Committee for Auckland. What's the Committee of Auckland, you say? Well, it's an organisation where you have to be invited to be a member, and it costs $10,000 per year to be a member. Really? Who's a member of that? Well, how about the CEO of Auckland City? How about most of the major corporate banks? How about huge private contracting companies? How about all of the people that set the policy for Auckland City to have it run by corporations for corporations? That's who. And they basically write the legislation. They've got their own ticket, you know? They're like Willy Wonka and Charlie in the Factory. I've got a golden ticket, and I can pass any laws I want, because nobody will ever arrest me, because I control the judiciary. You know, it's just like this huge nest of thieving, scumbaggery, evil, pedophile, viper scum that are running this whole freaking country. I don't care what city or town you're in, there's probably some kind of scumbaggery thief of epic proportions running the show. I don't care if you're out in the middle of the country or whatever. There's probably some farm just down the road from you run by some kind of freaking psychopath who never ever freaking stays up late thinking about stuff because he's got no conscience and goes to sleep right away, even though there's cows and everything. Mowing outside and freaking sheep voting for John Key. It's unbelievable. This country's in really big trouble.
You know what? What's really sad is we let them get away with it.
How do you let away? If you don't have a gun, right, and somebody's got a gun on you, and you begrudgingly give them your jewelry, are you letting them get away with it? Or is he
What I'm saying is, as we each we have votes, right?
Allegedly. Now,
well,
because under electoral law, if you're signed up to vote, if you're registered to vote, which you're legally supposed to, and if you don't register to vote, it's like a $500 fine or something, which a lot of them, they don't even chase up anymore because they'd rather you not vote specifically, and here's why. If you don't vote, if you don't cast that ballot, the government then passes that ballot for you in the percentage and the order of parties that were already voted for. So if National wins the election, that means the majority of those uncast votes automatically go to National by proxy. If Labor wins, all of those go to them by proxy. You see what I'm saying? So that means when we had the lowest voter turnout since 1886 for the 2008 election, the 2012 election, sorry, because everybody's saying, oh, National's going to win again, all in the media and everything like that. It wasn't true. There was a good 50, 60, 70% of people in this country who didn't want National, but only 25% of them voted.
Right. And that's what I mean by we let it actually slip away from us, and because we think, wow, why question it? It's easy like this. Life is easy when we don't have to take responsibility for anything.
Yeah.
You know? Let those I don't feel like questioning John Key and whoever else is in government, because I don't have the nuts to, really.
Yeah.
It's a little bit sad, but hey, you got to laugh about it because my nuts are bigger than yours sometimes. Not yours, but other people's anyway.
People just get depressed, you know. They just sit there and they see all the New World Order and the scumbaggery and they can't be bothered. They don't see anything getting any better. So they say, why bother? Yeah. I'll just take personal responsibility for my kids and my family home and so on and so forth. Really, how are you going to take care of your kids and your family home when the government's working to destroy the family unit and making houses so expensive that you can't afford them, and food so expensive that you can't afford it, and power so expensive that you can't afford it, and a smart meter on every home that tells them where you are and what you're doing in your house at all freaking times and pings it back? You know, what do you think you're not going to lose by doing nothing? You're going to lose everything. All right. And that was the realization that really hit me. Oh my God, they're actually going to fucking kill me at some point down the track. If I don't stop this massive tyrannical scumbaggery system from taking over the whole freaking country and putting us under its whim, they will actually have the power to throw somebody like me in front of a firing squad. I shit you not. And they fucking will, as long as nobody stands to oppose them.
Well, how they did that to, what's his face? Down in Tūhoe? No, they hit him by, was it Ruakinana?
Yeah, obviously a few of them actually.
Yeah, back in the days, bro, that happened to us all the time. You know, you stand up and you get shot for it. Like how we celebrate on November the 5th for Guy Fawkes Day. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it's Guy Fawkes Day. But little do they know that it's actually Rongo Mai and forget the other brother's name, but they did a peaceful protest down in Taranaki, Te Whiti o Rongo Mai. And they held a peaceful protest because they were basically getting all their land stolen off of them. And I think this is actually, was it after or before Mahatma Gandhi did his, they, just because they didn't want their land to be taken away from them, they were actually killed for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a number of things that the government can do to defend itself, and it usually goes in a system. So they'll try one thing, and if that doesn't work, then they try the next, and then the next, and then the next. The final being extermination, right?
Yeah.
So let's say I speak out against the government. Okay, so first thing they're going to do is ignore me. Mm. Once it gets to the point that they can't ignore me, once there's a huge public backlash and so on and so forth that they can't ignore, then they'll start disinformation. All right. And if people see through their lies and misinformation and endless campaigns through the newspapers and the mainstream media that are on a constant basis saying Vinnie Eastwood's crazy, he doesn't know what he's talking about, he's a conspiracy theorist, if that still doesn't work, if people don't buy it, then they start intimidation. Then they start following you around with cars and so on and so forth. Then they start listening to your phone calls deliberately. And me and my friend John Eisen on the phone line the other day, and every time I call him, and it doesn't happen with anybody else that I'm talking to, there's always this clicking on his line every now and again, because they listen to him. He does this magazine here, Uncensored, warning, attack of the medical system. It's now the second leading cause of death in New Zealand. And his and his wife, who lives in the same house, does this one, the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, which is, in my opinion, probably the best natural medicine magazine in the world today. And the it gets, they're trying to make your fear overtake you, okay? Yeah. So if the if you're afraid of being ignored, you won't start. If you're afraid of being demonized, you won't continue. If you're afraid of being surveilled, you won't keep up the fight. Then, after that doesn't work, then they start sabotaging you. They'll sabotage your business. They'll draw up some kind of BS legislation or whatever that really messes with you. Or
Hubbard.
Yeah. Same thing happened to Alan Hubbard. They'll either make up some BS legislation or, even better yet, they'll just come and frickin' take it from you completely illegally and use their control over the investigation houses and so on and so forth. You can only really do this from a higher level in order to prevent any investigation, to prevent yourself suffering any of the consequences of your scumbaggery. And you're just taking out your competition now with Alan Hubbard. You know, and if that doesn't work, then assassination, which I think also calls into question Alan Hubbard's death 3 days before he was about to go into court with enough evidence to basically get John Key convicted of fraud and a whole bunch of his cronies too, and then he magically dies after a car accident. He didn't die during the car accident. He suffered a few injuries. The guy was traveling on the wrong side of the road while Alan Hubbard and his wife were parked on one side of the road at 100 kilometres an hour, full tilt, coming at them, towing a very, very heavy concrete mixer behind him, smashes into him. They wound up going to Oamaru Hospital or wherever the frack it was. It might have been Timaru. And they noted that Alan Hubbard was like smiling and laughing and making the nurses laugh and that kind of thing, using good spirits. And then they wheel him out. He says, hey, goodbye, everybody, you know, and they chuck him on a helicopter, and in like the 5-minute ride from there to Dunedin Hospital, he died of a heart attack.
Yeah.
And I was just like, isn't that really freaking convenient? Isn't that just a mite suspicious, you know? There's something really fucked up going on in this country, and it doesn't matter how much wealth you have, doesn't matter how much power you have. As soon as this power structure identifies you as one of its threats, if they want what you have, or if they just want to take you out, they can do it.
What about, you got to tell us, because I was listening to your interview with Kitty Campbell, man. That was pretty cool. I loved, can you fill us in a little bit more detail? Like, she withdrew $15 million or something like that?
Okay, so for those who are not familiar, there's this thing called personal sovereignty or free man on the land. What's it called? Maritime law. Basically, when you're born, you get given a birth certificate, much like a shipping receipt. That's why they call it being birthed, right? And then that shipping receipt goes one copy to the government and one copy to you, so you can identify yourself. And so the government can start trading your stock. That's why you're called livestock on the stock market. You look up your little code, the shipping number on your birth certificate, you'll be able to see that. Now, if you'll be able to look it up on the stock market in New York, by the way. That's very freaky, isn't it? Yeah. Well, what happens is they attach a lot of money to each and every single one of these new birthed slaves. And they open an account in your name when you're born, which you can access when you're 18, provided you know of its existence. And it keeps and it has a hell of a lot of money in there. Everybody's worth a hell of a lot. You can actually look it up on the stock market and see how much you're worth. And if you want to, if you know how to do all the legal documentation and filing with a bank or other organization, you're capable of making a withdrawal from that specific bank account. This is what Kerry Campbell found out, and this is what she did. She withdrew $15 million from her bank account, you know, that's on the stock exchange and what have you, because she wanted to feed her kids, she wanted to have something for them to leave behind, and she also wanted to show the system that she knew how to work it the way the banksters do. All the big banksters and scumbags and JP Morgan and Merrill Lynch and all that kind of stuff, the real, real top brass, they know this. And here's the other thing about knowing about your personal sovereignty is that statutes don't apply to you anymore, right? What? Laws apply to you. You can't hurt nobody. You can't damage their property. But that's the only real laws that we have. Those are called common laws. All the rest of it, taxes, vehicle registration, any kind of cost from the government that you could conceivably think of is not law. It's statute. It doesn't actually apply to sovereign beings, only to businesses or people that have actually consented that they are not the sovereign being, that they are the person on that birth certificate. Because that birth certificate, that driver's license, it ain't you at all. It's you'll notice when you look at them that it's all done in capital letters. Now, when you write your name down on a piece of paper, do you write it in all capital letters? No, you don't. You've got a capital at the start of the name, and that's about it, right? Well, you know what lists everything with all capital letters? Companies. You give a look at the company stock exchange and everything. All companies are registered with capital letters. You see right here, Eastwood, Vincent, Christopher, John, all in capital letters, right on my license there. There is nothing about this license that represents me, Vinnie Eastwood, the man. This is Vinnie Eastwood, the straw man. This is the corporation. This is what they charge you with. As soon as they get, this is why the cops always ask for ID first, because they're identifying which account to accredit the loan to when they give you a ticket. Okay? Oh. So if you say, no, I'm not actually Vincent Christopher John Eastwood here, I'm just the administrator of that account. Oh.
So you're treating yourself as a business.
And then they can't charge me with anything. They can't give me fines. They can't take me away with anything that's not a breach of common law. Which is, I have to not hurt anybody, and I have to not damage or steal anybody's stuff. Seems pretty reasonable, right? Wouldn't you love to live in a world where you don't get taxed, where the only time you would ever actually have your freedom or liberty deprived of you is if you deprive somebody of their right to safety because of you?
You know, and as I, you know, because as I've been listening to you, I've been thinking, like, yeah, because I watched that, you know, that doco on the corporation, the one on the YouTube, and you know, the things that you're saying could be seen as very far fetched, but when you have a good watch of that doco, and it breaks it down how they actually brought in the how they established actual corporations, and when we start talking about psychopaths. And then they go through all that whole list of a psychopathic murderer,
mm-hmm.
And then they tick like just about every one of those boxes, you know, just like the breakdown of the family, what is it called, like a recluse, and you're just a social outcast. And the corporation ticks like every box. And then, you know, when you're listening to this, you sometimes think, oh, that's quite outlandish. But when you look at it in that sense, it's like none of that is outlandish.
Yeah.
Like it is so much the fucking truth.
Yeah.
And they would so much do that, you know, and it's like, fuck, man, it is pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
The American Medical Journal states that a psychopath is somebody who will be very nice and charming, quite enchanting when you meet them, actually, and they know how to draw you in. They are capable of reflecting. Yeah. It's very similar to mind reading. They're capable of detecting what it is that you're missing in your life, and then pretend to be that thing to get them to get you to trust them, so that they can take something from you when you're not looking. Right?
Yeah.
And the ways that you can see these people is if they're laughing or smiling. Like you see me laughing and smiling, you see how my eyes are crinkling a little bit.
Yeah.
Psychopaths don't do that. When they laugh, when they smile at you, they smile like this. Okay, the eyes don't crinkle. This is what's it called? It's a non-intentional body signal that the smile that they're going here is fake. Every single time you look at John Key when he's smiling, look at his eyes. Never are his eyes smiling too. He's never in on the joke with you because the joke's on you. And the likely places the American Medical Journal goes on to say that you will find these particular psychopathic characters are in areas of power and control, specifically entertainment, business, politics, religious gurus, lawyers, and doctors.
All professionals,
positions of power.
Right. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody in those professions is psychopaths. Psychopaths only generate about maybe 4% of the population. But the problem is, they're the 4% at the very top who run it. So if you imagine for a moment that somebody's saying to you, but how could they do this to people? You know, I would never do that to people. I would never destroy their country and their land and take their children off them and rape them and so on and so forth. I would never decapitate somebody and drive across two states wearing their head as a hat. You know, oh my God, I can't believe I don't understand it. You know why you don't understand it, don't you? Because you're not a fucking psychopath. If you were a ruthless, horrific, inhuman psychopath, nothing in society wouldn't make sense to you at all. Everything would make perfect sense.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So if you want to expose it, learn how to think like a psychopath. I've learned how to think like a psychopath, you know. Think about the worst things you could ever do to people, you know.
Yeah,
think about the most horrific deceptions that you could never pull off by yourself without an intense guilt that would keep you up for weeks and weeks, maybe months or years at a time. Right. And then imagine that that's how you think, and you still get to sleep at night. Because psychopaths, I mean, a friend of mine, Thomas Sheridan, he wrote a great book about psychopaths called Puzzling People, The Labyrinth of the Psychopath. And I asked him one time, like, I was kind of like doing in an introspective moment. I was kind of thinking, you know, am I a psychopath? You know, what was that? And he asked me a question, Vinny, yeah, when you go to sleep at night, do you think about lots of things? You know, lots of things that happen to you during the day, things that are worrying you. And I go, yeah, yeah, I do the majority of my thinking at night. Well, then you're not a psychopath. Psychopaths, when they go to sleep, it's lights out as soon as the head hits the pillow. And that's the truth of it.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a great Irishman.
I suppose, when you think of it, like, I was just thinking about when, you know, reading books and shit, and they've got, like, in fantasy books, you know, in times of war and stuff, and then you always get the characters who just fucking fall asleep, you know, after war and stuff like that, and, you know, then you think, well, fuck, he must be a fucking psychopath,
yeah.
And you can just go to sleep after you're fucking decapitated. Yeah. Like,
and this is the thing, you know, a lot of people might be born psychopaths, but there's no real way of telling whether an infant is a psychopath really, is there?
All yeah, right? That's right.
All right, so what but then people we have probably all got it.
Yeah, yeah, we've got a potential of being a psychopath, but not.
Well,
here's
the thing.
Act on it.
It's a parasite. Like, they've actually got photographs of it. It's an actual fucking parasite that attaches itself to the brainstem, and it can divide itself much like cell membranes. It's capable of splitting itself off and infecting other hosts. If you're around a psychopath a lot, they can actually infect you. That's the scariest thing that I found out, and I spoke to three different fields of people who are experts on psychology, people who are experts in the spiritual aspects of it, talking about the angels and demons and so on and so forth, and then people who were experts in ancient lore and what the ancient peoples told about these entities and so on and so forth, and they all concurred that it was an absolutely non-human entity that was infectious, like a mind parasite, and it is capable of taking people over. And the way that it feeds allegedly is off negative waveforms. So if you feel fear,
that's sort of where I was thinking,
fear, hate, anger, if you have a look at the radio forms, they'll send out
these wave
patterns. Okay, now a love wave pattern is a very rapid, sharp kind of beat. You know, you see those when you're looking at radios. And then there is the fear pattern, which is a very long, undulating curve. And what the long, undulating curve does is, like, your pulses and your emotions are actually connected to your DNA in a way, because your DNA is a transmitter. Like, you see how you got those two curlings, the double helix, much like a radio transmitter. It can send and receive vibrational signals. And what happens is, when you're feeling fear, it'll bump up against your genetic code. So it'll bump here, bump here on the other side of the waveform, and then bump over here. But when you got love, it's bumping, 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 and it just supercharges your entire genetic makeup. It actually unlocks potential abilities and psychic abilities and so on and so forth. And what the psychopaths don't want It's people waking up to that potential that the love waveform can actually give human beings. We can actually see into each other's souls, develop a profound sense of intuition, creativity, so on and so forth. You'll see this all with creative people and people who are usually not psychopaths. There was also a list in the American Medical Journal about this. Kindergarten teachers, artists, and musicians. Right? So these are the kind of people for whom creativity and love is a way of life, and they've been able to harness through those waveforms ability to see things that are not there, to create things that do not yet exist. That's why psychopaths are always backward-looking people. If you notice, they're always trying to keep things the way they are or try and make them worse. It's because they can't create or think about a new reality. They can't see it. They can see what they've got, and they can see their lust for power and control, but they can't create anything for themselves. That's allegedly why they're intensely jealous of really creative, entrepreneurial people. It's because they've got something that they fucking don't. And it makes them intensely jealous, and they really hate people like me, which I believe is why I was kind of like predated on by a couple of psychopathic employers in my time. They steal your ideas. This is the thing. You ever had somebody, you know, you came up with a really great idea or whatever, and then you tell somebody about it, and then all of a sudden that person starts to make out like it's their idea and starts going ahead with it without you and that kind of thing? Fucking psychopaths stealing your ideas because they got none of their fucking own. So if you come up with a really brilliant idea, that's the one they'll fucking steal. And then when you come and try and talk to them about it, they say, hey, fuck you, man. If you tell anybody about this, you're fucking dead. I will rape your children. I will burn your fucking house down. Keep your fucking mouth shut. You know, Jake the Mustard style, real fucking scary people, and that's why they get away with it, because they intimidate the living shit out of people, and they're very, very scary, and there is no way to get justice. Like, really, psychopaths are not the kind to go down without a fight. If you want to take one of them down, you'll most likely lose everything that you hold dear in the process. Do not fight them. Do not expose them. Do not go after them. Don't do anything of the sort. Once you know somebody is a fucking psychopath, stay away from them at all costs. They're a toxic parasite of the soul, and having any contact with them whatsoever will never be beneficial, no matter what they're promising you. Doesn't matter if they're promising you a big record label deal. Doesn't matter whether or not they're promising you a better country for the future. Mm-hmm. Stay away from them. Record every single conversation you have with them, and for that matter, record every single conversation you have with a cop, a lawyer, or a judge. Every single one of them. Because if they try to commit some kind of scumbaggery, they'll never admit whether or not that conversation took place. Always have those frickin' recordings, man. Always. They've been an absolute saviour. You know, in New Zealand courts, they don't even allow recordings in a lot of sessions.
Yeah.
How can it be a court of record if there ain't no frickin' record? We got our judges are related predominantly. Got like 168 or some odd high court judges in this country, and like 120 of them are like cousins. First cousins, you know, you try getting a judgment, summary judgment, and you're like, okay, well, I need to fight this judgment. I'm going to go find another judge. Sure. How about my cousin? He'll sort you out, bro. He'll give you the exact same judgment, you scum, because we rule this country and you're just slaves. You know, these kind of people. Oh, my God. No wonder they wear black robes like they're in some kind of a fucking cult. I'm surprised they're burning children in effigy in the goddamn courtroom, you know? Just underneath the bench, you know, take a bong hit of dead baby smoke. I don't know. Oh, God. Yeah. See, just like I say, you know, you can imagine the worst of the worst of the worst, and you've still not even hit anywhere near it. As like, I think somebody was telling a friend of mine, he's like real deep in the NSA or whatever, and he's a classified source, nobody knows his fucking name or whatever. And he says, you know, back in the 70s, he talks to a friend of mine, and he says, you know, however bad you think it is, it's 100 times worse. And then he talks to him in the 80s, and he goes, no matter how bad you think it is, it's 1,000 times worse. <He's> like, and then he talks to him in the 90s, and he goes, no matter how bad you think it is, it's 10,000 times worse. and then he's like, fucking, how bad is it going to get? And he goes, millions of times worse, billions of times worse. There is no upper effort. I mean, like, let's think about evil, pure, unbridled, irrational evil. Okay, let's say I gave you $1,000 and said, bro, go out on the town, be as debaucherous as you want, break as many laws as you can without getting caught for $1,000. Okay, you can get up to quite a bit of scumbaggery in a night, couldn't you? What if I said, here's $200 trillion and go out and commit as much evil and scumbaggery across the entire world till the end of time? That's the situation we're in. Mm. It's quite sad, but hey, look at it this way. Even though they've got all this apparatus, all this money, all this scumbaggery, all this force, all this conjecture, all this propaganda machinations of the state, we're still beating them fucking hands down. Yeah. Facebook is dominated by truth. Yeah. It's spreading out on all the social networks like fucking wildfire. The Syria invasion gets fucking called off. Vinnie Eastwood has nearly 10,000.
They got slammed big time.
And then they shut the whole government freaking down, you know? That's how bad this, you know, we think the situation's bad for us. Imagine the situation for the people who are actually trying to get it through and how desperate it is because they're being exposed and they know. Just like moss, mildew, and so on and so forth, you shine light on it, it starts to die, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay? And people forget about the natural world and its relationship with man. Where does scum accumulate on a pond, exactly?
The top.
Yeah. That's what people have forgotten. The scum aren't the homeless people in the streets. Oh, the scum aren't the single
That's
mothers.
The top, buddy.
The
That's
scum the top. Are the CEOs. The scum are the prime sinisters. The scum are the ministers of social development. The scum are all of those pieces of trash that are actually looking down upon you because light doesn't penetrate through scum and everything beneath it gets deprived of oxygen, vitamin D, and nutrients and frickin' dies. And this is the lesson of history. Scum get in control and they kill everything. They kill the economy, they kill the people, they kill freedom, they kill intelligence, they kill anything that's good about the human race. And what really pisses me off is that there's some people that have been living in the system for so fucking long that they actually believe that there's no value in the human race. Like people that are pro-fracking Facebook message, you know, said to me, well, wouldn't it be a good thing if man was wiped out? I mean, how long do you think the Earth would take to recover from us? You know, and it's just like, dude, you're saying it like you're not one of us. And if you want to get rid of people in order to make the world a better place, volunteer. I'm not going to stop you, bro. You know, go for your life, son. Lead by example. Yeah. I'm killing myself to make a better human race. Thank fuck. Yeah. Another one gone. Another one bites the dust. And then...
thank you.
And another one down, and another one down. It's just more like another one sucks John Key's Wang. Another one sucks his cock.
And another one.
And another one coming along, and another one coming along, and they're all lining up. Hey, boom. We're going to suck John's cock. Another one lining up. Yeah, see, this is the thing. Music, creativity, love. Have you ever seen the movie I Am Legend with Will Smith?
Yeah, but...
All right, love that bit where you said about Bob Marley, about how Bob Marley got shot this one time and motherfuckers tried to assassinate him. And he said that Bob Marley was like a virologist. He saw racism, hatred as a disease. And he feels that you could cure that disease, literally cure racism, by injecting music and love into people's lives. And somebody came and tried to frickin' assassinate him for saying it. And he had a music concert on like in two or three days.
Yeah.
In 2 or 3 days, he walked out there, cast and all, and performed. He said that if the people who are trying to destroy this planet don't take a day off, then neither can I. Incidentally, Bob Marley had an unsuccessful tennis career because he could never get a higher score than One Love.
One Love. Nice one, Kaz. Nice one.
Apparently he had like quite a few different species of kutus in his dreams. Yeah, the... apparently.
Well, no, true that one was there.
Yeah.
Some kind of a crackhead camped out in there.
Yeah. Wow.
Scuttling.
I wonder how many fucking species there are.
Yeah, I've got to.
Well, apparently there's 20,000 species around the world going extinct every day.
I've got about three. How many you got, bro?
I don't know. Maybe just one, and it's called John Key.
Yeah, we all share that kutu in common, bro.
Yeah. The kutu in common proposal.
A common kutu, cuz.
Yeah. Okay, well, I do feel that New Zealanders have got to wake up, but I'm not going to be the man to wake you up. I really won't be. I'll be the person you come to after you've woken up that you need a way of dealing with the fact that now you know what's going on, because this is an easy thing to accept. I mean, I transitioning from my belief in the system, voting green and all of this kind of stuff, to realizing that there's a global agenda and Agenda 21, if you ever want to look up that document, freaking crazy.
Agenda 21, folks.
People
what is
want
that?
To control everything. They want to control everything. Like, it's a big document at the UN. It was signed by Jim Bolger in 1992. George H.W. Bush signed it too on Prince Charles' private yacht during the UN, what's it called, the Rio Earth Summit. And ever since then, all of its aspects of privatization, roading maps and so on and so forth have just basically been the stock and bunker of our entirety of legislation that's been passed since the early 90s. Almost everything that has ever been passed in this country since the early 90s is practically lifted out of this document. Every single part of it is being implemented. And at the end of it, when they have their agenda successful, the agenda for the 21st century, that's why it's called Agenda 21, private contractors will own the entire world. Okay? There will be no private property, and only bankers, big international corporate bankers, will own everything. And all the rest of us are their serfs, slaves, living in their slave blocks, next to railroad tracks, no movement, no freedom, surveilled under 24/7, educated under mandatory education requirements to keep you dumb, so you're just smart enough to do the work, but not smart enough to realize how badly you're being fucked every single day by scum.
Yeah.
That's not a future I want.
That's what was highlighted in that corporation too, that there, you know, that there's going to be a time, and a lot of them were saying that every part of the earth should be privatized, right from water, right, you know, which has started to happen, you know, and that's what they all agreed upon, that every part of the earth should be privatized. Okay.
Fabian socialism, have you ever heard of it?
What's that?
Fabian socialism.
Fabian socialism, no.
Well, you go have a look. Bomber Bradbury is a Fabian socialist. A lot of the members of the Labour Party are Fabian socialists. The symbol of Fabian socialism is, well, they got two symbols, really, but the main one is a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
The secondary one is a tortoise wielding a hammer. All right? So just think about what those symbols connote. Tortoise moves slow, but with his hammer, as soon as he's gotten to the point, brings the hammer down on you. The wolf in sheep's clothing is just your friend, nice and friendly until he eats you. All right? Those are Fabian socialists, man. They're very scary people. And what was his name? George Orwell, who wrote 1984, was a Fabian socialist. And the reason why he wrote 1984 is because this is what the Fabian society was building since back then. They've been building this big system for a long, long, long freaking time. They play the long game. I mean, you and me, we say, oh, we want to get these people out of power, or we want to stop this, we want to stop it now, right now. Fabians don't do that. They say, well, what we're going to do is we're going to change society very, very slowly over time. So the time we announce to people, yes, now you're a slave and a serf and whatever, you've been brainwashed and very, very slowly eased into accept that programming so gradually that you didn't even know it was going on.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And I think that that's a very important point to note about New Zealand politics, New Zealand activists, New Zealand commentators and everything. Everybody's got a backstory. Everybody's got some information behind them and so on and so forth. So it depends who you want to listen to. Do you want to listen to somebody who's perhaps playing against you because he belongs to groups that play people endlessly, time over time, who have been shown and documented to be, well, liars, more or less? Do you want to listen to those kind of people? you're not going to really achieve any benefit. Even for every grain and truth that that comes out on it, you still overwhelmed by an entire beach of lies.
Amen.
And I don't hold to that, and I don't think anybody should really have to deal with that, which is why I'm taking personal responsibility for the media in this country by broadcasting every day, going the videos every day, going to all the protests and filming them and so on and so forth, and I'll be leading the protest charge and be the MC of the nationwide day of action against the national government on Saturday the 5th. Of October at 1 p.m. at Aotea Square. This is the first mainstream protest that I've ever actually been asked to lead and organise the speakers for. So we're going to have a number of good speakers in there, like a mayoral candidate and a stalwart defence for New Zealand against Agenda 21.
Saturday
at 1 p.m. Aotea Square. So we've got Penny Bright talking about Agenda 21 and the takeover of Auckland by the Committee for Auckland. And we're going to have Marama Davidson talking about Margaree and how it's been so completely destroyed, and now all the motorway and everything coming in there are going to cut the neighbourhood in half. Yep. We're going to have Sue Henry, who's going to be talking about the Glen Innes operation, how the government came in and bribed a lot of the iwi leaders and local church leaders and all of that kind of stuff, told them that they'd get shares or something really good for their community halls and so on and so forth if they took away all these state houses and established communities by privatising them, you know, and then they just ripped the ground out from under them, and none of those houses are there anymore, nor are the community centres. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to have Vince Seymour on. He's the judicial watchdog. He was the person who was jailed for reporting about the illegal warrants issued by Justice Winkleman and so on and so forth, and went to jail for reporting court corruption. He's going to be a good one. Kerry Campbell, who you mentioned earlier, I've invited her. She's going to come up from the NACI to speak. And we're also going to have Russell Malcolm, who about 10 years ago exposed corruption at the Rodney City Council and had the whole council, including the mayor, fired after being investigated by the government.
Yeah, true. Nice. So good work, Kaz.
And then the next time he tried to expose him, they threw him in jail without charge, and John Key personally dictated over the phone in the middle of the night after being woken up by one of his protectors to dictate his bail conditions over the phone, including, and this is 5 weeks before an election, by the way, do not contact any member of parliament and do not use the internet.
Oh.
Okay. Shit. Yeah, bro. I mean, seriously, you know what I really hated about protests? Is that they were all run by one particular group of people, usually the socialist left. I got nothing against the guys personally. I don't agree with the ideology, but they're reasonably good people, some of them, and I don't want to bag them all. However, I'm a little bit more extreme. I don't fall into a paradigm. I don't say National's bad and Labour is good. Therefore,
they're fucking exactly the same. If you ask me, it doesn't really matter who gets in. It's the lesser of the two evil at the time,
yeah, but of course
nothing changes.
Yeah,
and absolutely nothing changes.
Some of the socialists are waking up to this too, and so they split off and they start joining parties like Mana and Greens and so on and so forth. But I feel eventually people are going to have to realise that they don't want groups actually representing their opinion, because those groups don't actually involve them in the workings of the government.
That's right.
What I want is personal sovereignty. I don't want to have to do anything anybody tells me ever again for the rest of my life. As long as I don't hurt nobody or damage or steal anybody's private property, nobody should be able to tell me or force me to do anything. That's what I want. That's the political paradigm I'm coming from.
Yeah,
it's called freedom. And these people in Parliament, they're not interested in freedom. You know, they're always interested in curtailing them. I mean, you dig this. For the last 30 years in New Zealand legislation, the only freedom that was given to people rather than just being taken away was gay marriage. Just think about that. That's the only freedom they actually gave people. All the rest of the time they passed legislation, it was to take away freedoms.
Well, yeah, man. Yeah.
Okay? That's a massive disproportionate... Nothing against gay people. I'm just saying it's not frickin' equal. Yeah. Maybe straight people should also have rights, you know? Don't you think? But because this way, the gay people can get married, but they still don't have any frickin' rights. Right? You know what I'm saying? This is about what's real. and you only really have three rights. And this was told to me by Grace Hayden, 15-year prosecuting sergeant for the New Zealand Police, top lady, knows her stuff. She said, you've only got three rights, really, at the end of the day. Put up, shut up, or pay up.
Yeah.
Everything else you have to fight and or die for.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that rings very, very true for us as Māori as well, you know? Shit. It gives us an interesting point there. I mean, do we continue to fight? Do we continue to fight for our... And you said it, because our word for freedom is either tino rangatiratanga or manamotu hoki, eh? Would you...
I think that was sort of created around the treaty.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, several hapu have come up with certain methodologies in order to violate this using that sovereignty maritime law stuff that I was talking about, you know, with the driver's license and all of that. And so they're creating their own independent states, more or less. You can have a legally declared state without a legally declared border, and which means you get diplomatic immunity, security, and so on and so forth. And it means they can issue their own driver's licenses, they can issue their own vehicle registrations and so on.
And a lot of that comes under the treaty as well. And I know that there's been quite a few movements to establish that.
Yeah.
But they always get run down.
Well, speaking of that, at the end of the day, the treaty didn't do a hell of a lot of good for the Māori.
All it did was be used as a
smoke screen in order to buy you off. Basically, it's just like this. Yeah. Bro, you guys are real hard to beat, eh? Fuck. you keep slaughtering all our British troops when we come in and try to like grandstand and like take you out and stuff, and then you just like cut off our fucking heads and then run back into the bush, you bastards. Shit, hell, we're going to beat them. I know, bro. What? Oh, dude.
The Frenchers are coming.
What about, bro? If we, like, make them afraid of, like, other people instead of us, and then say that we're actually here to help them and give them a piece of paper to sign saying that we're going to protect them from now on.
Yep.
And then when they sign it, we'll use it to steal everything that they've got that we haven't stolen by force already. And they go, fuck, that's a brilliant idea, bro. How'd you come up with that? How'd you come up with that? And then just
they did it across the sea to those fellas in Peru.
It worked for this country and that country and that country and that country and that country with all these indigenous peoples who couldn't speak our language nor know what fucking hardcore lawful manipulation was. So let's just fucking use that, bro. What have we got to lose? Hey, we got nothing. We can't beat them in combat, so let's just beat them with a piece of paper.
Clever bastards.
I've had quite a few... Pākehā mates who find it hard to even come around to that realization, eh? But and it's that whole assimilation into the education system where you're not told what actually fucking went on, you know. And
the real story.
And then they just reproduce the same old shit.
Yeah.
People say the same old fucking thing about Māoris, and it's like, and it's based on what?
Yeah.
Fucking nothing. It's based on fucking bullshit.
Absolutely
and
nothing.
I suppose that's where, you know, we get quite a bit angry with that, eh? You know? And it's like, just like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
You know, we're still reproducing the same shit, you know, and we're supposed to be fucking progressing in some way.
Well, you are progressing, just not upwards.
Regressing, bro. It's called regressing, isn't it? Or digressing or something like that.
Digressing means when you go in a different direction and you kind of get lost. Regressing is when you kind of atrophy and you kind of get smaller and worse off as time goes on. Now, for those Pākehā who don't believe that the treaty was used, or at least the government structure was used in order to frack Māori over, that's probably because you didn't get wrapped over the knuckles for speaking Māori in class in the 50s. That's probably because you actually own your land and didn't have it stolen from you. That's probably because you've actually got a full family unit, because SIFs didn't take kids off people because they've got a fucking quota, mate. Okay? Māori are disproportionately jailed, disproportionately taken away from their parents, disproportionately arrested, disproportionate this, disproportionate that. Don't look at the cause, just look at the results, and the cause will become apparent.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen by fucking accident.
No,
okay? If you dump a whole bunch of fucking drugs, money, and firearms and shit like that in front of people who've never seen them before, what did you think was going to fucking happen? You know? Why do you think the people on the Star Trek Enterprise never interfere with fucking planets that aren't developed enough yet or whatever? Because they just won't understand. They'll have to be brought up to speed, and then it becomes a huge responsibility of teaching them the way the world works. Or better yet, much easier than teaching them. Much
I just
easier
watched that the other night too. Yeah. Into Darkness. What a great movie, bro. Yeah. I love Star Trek, you know?
Yeah.
How it was one of the fucking first movies that you ever saw interracial kissing. Mm-hmm. Ah, what? The old man used to love it. He used to always watch it. And I now understood what he was going on about, you know? And things have just kind of clicked in the last couple of years for me after having kids and stuff. And just the bullshit that's out there that's fed to you on the platter. And you're going, yummy, yummy, yeah. yummy. Not even questioning it. You're thinking, oh, this tastes so good. Like all the processed fucking food that we've been fed by. We've just been on the paleo diet for the last 2 years. He's been on it for 2 years and I've been on it for the last year. And it's amazing. We read this. Oh, I read this piece of literature from dentist Weston A. Price. He said that back in the 1940s, he did a study on all indigenous people. Not all indigenous people.
No, he calls
people.
Them savages. So
That's right.
Oh, the Canada, savage. Yeah, the native savage.
Yeah, like the savage is not the one that sticks a bayonet in your back and then pulls the trigger and cuts your head off and puts it on a pike as a warning to other Māori. The savage is the one who got his head cut off.
Yeah.
Or the savage is the... Yeah, not the one who's gripping their mouths and then hold, you know, so they can, and then he's like probing their teeth and fuck it. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Cheating. It's like a little piggy. Might as well got a fucking pig or a dog and say, look at this.
Yeah. So the paleo diet is just being raw foodists, basically, to a large degree? Or are you using the old pork bone stew and things like that, the traditional Māori diet?
Yeah. Well, we kind of just. I don't know if paleo is the actual terminology that suits me anyway, because I've got to put off a bit from pork and beef and stuff, so I mainly eat fish and bird now. Chicken.
As
long as it's not KFC, I don't think that that happens in Paleolithic times. You know, you imagine some caveman. What are we going to eat tonight? Fuck, I just got to have the KFC, bro. It was just like, I was in Mangere the other day, and then I had Marama Davidson here in my studio talking about this kind of thing about what's happened to Mangere, and it's nothing but cash loan shark shops and fucking fast food restaurants. That's Mangere.
Carl's Jr. Yeah.
But if you look, because you know I teach there too. But if you look, you know, just in the vicinity there, fuck, you know, there's like, take your pick. There's a three options from within the K of the radius of the school that we're in for KFC, Burger King, McDonald's, and at every one of those corner, settlements is you know, there's always a fucking liquor store. I think there was there was almost 98 within the vicinity of Papakura. 98 places that sold liquor.
Fucking
hard out there.
Oh, yeah, a mate of mine, he was living in Otahuhu, and he's a big drinker, you know, he's gay, so he's got nothing else to do. And gay guys know how to party, okay? You got to give them that, bro. They know how to drink, they know how to party. And he's a mate of mine. I was just around seeing him because he was getting fracked over out of his house and all of that kind of stuff. Beautiful house, and he's got LED lights and everything inset into his bench top, like he's a tiler and everything, and a builder up, and he's got these fairy lights built into his bench top that flash different colors, like yellow, like pink, like white, like blue. And I said, bro, do you know how I know you're gay? and he did his own little experiment. Okay, he wanted to know where the cheapest liquor in Auckland was. Fucking Otahuhu, South Auckland, bro. I was in a shed with a couple of my other mates just a couple of nights ago, and I was talking to them about this, you know, the cheapest liquor in South Auckland, and a couple of the white guys were like, oh no, that freaking bullshit, man, it can't be that way. And then one of the islander girls with us said, look, let me tell you how easy it is to get liquor in Otahuhu. I owe one liquor shop $870. That's how easy it is.
Yeah, well, even now, the local Clendon one, man. But can you, you know, can I hear? Yeah. Our local Clendon store. Fuck, man, they have the wicked specials, eh? You know, you walk in there, I know that even the Christoph, fuck, you know, they're $20 for, you know, almost a 40 ounce.
Dude, they were $20 back when I was like 17 Waiheke Island, and they're still the same price.
They're still the same there.
Is an apple the same price? No. Is a banana the same price? No. Is an onion the same price? No. Everything going up. That's something that I noticed, bro. Everything that is really, really bad for you, fast food, liquor, so on and so forth, prices are staying down just where they've always been. Anything that's good for you, organic food or fresh fruit and vegetables, stuff like that, unless you go into a farmer's market, everything way more expensive.
And that's what a lot of people, you know, don't understand. They're like, oh, well, you know, you just buy some fucking veggies and stuff. Well, I remember when I used to go to school, you know, we used to go down to the local bakery and you could buy a tank loaf of bread, which was $1, and then you could buy a two pies for $2, and you pull the middle out, you know, and then you just chuck the pie in, and that could last you for like almost 2 to 3 meals. And we still go to school. When we rock past school, we see they got these star drinks now, and they're like 1 liter, and they cost like $1.20.
Yeah.
And kids are like guzzling them down before they get to school, and you know they're eating pies, 2 to 3 pies, because they're dirt cheap.
Yeah,
and it's like, and then how the fuck do you think they're going to learn?
They wash them down with the fucking fizzy drinks as well, bro. Got all that caffeine and sugar, sugar in there. No wonder their teeth are like shit. And then they tell you fluoride's for the poor children in the poor areas and so on and so forth. Well, they don't drink fucking water, do they, cunt? And that's the reason. And that's the reason why their teeth are so goddamn bad, is because all of these corner dairies and everything, they're selling you 2 liters of Mellow Yellow for a dollar, motherfucker.
So is that what sort of the kōrero of what Marama Davis will be talking about as well?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it'll be part of it. Honestly, I know all of these people that are going to be speaking, but I've given them free rein. They can say whatever the hell they're going to talk about. And I've asked them specifically for the juiciest details that they can come up with, something that'll actually nail a frickin' extra bloody coffin nail into bloody John Key's coffin. I want him underground. I want him buried. I want all the information that would make nobody ever trust him for the rest of his natural existence on this planet to come out during these speeches. That's what I'm hoping for, and I know these people, and I know them well, and I know sort of what they're going to say. I don't know exactly, but I don't think that anybody could deliver it other than them. That's why there are no politicians speaking at this protest.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah, because I was just about to ask him, did you consider like someone like Hone Harawira or someone like him?
Well, absolutely, I've considered Hone, and that's why there's an open mic at the end for the politicians to come up and speak their bit as well. I'd also like
how many have you got?
Hey,
how many politicians accepted your invite?
Actually, I went up New Zealand first. No, Winston Peters is busy. He's overseas, and she asked the rest of the MPs. They're all busy on that day as well. Same with the Greens. And Labour didn't reply at all.
Surprised?
No, not really. Well, actually, I kind of was just a little bit surprised that the opposition to the government of the Greens, New Zealand First, Labour, would not reply to, or would rather reply, but all be too busy to come down to the National Day of Action against the national government. And it might be me, because I've been demonized, you know, as a conspiracy theorist and what have you. I'm not a terribly unreasonable person, am I? I've got a good heart. I've got the gift of the gab, and I really care for people, and I really help people with my broadcasts and so on and so forth. But there's of course those who are in a legitimacy position. If you've got guilt by association, the people that I've invited now are activists.
Just the Green Parties. The Green Party are guilty by association.
Mm-hmm.
Māori Party are definitely they're guilty by association.
Yeah.
So that's why you haven't got any of those.
Well, they wouldn't want to be seen as conspiracy theorists. No. And even conspiracy theorists don't use the word conspiracy because it makes people see them
as conspiracy theorists.
So I'm going to, you know, hopefully I want to sort of shy away from that that conspiracy element. You know, we're not going to be talking about UFOs and aliens and reptilians and so on and so forth. You know, you can listen to that when I interview David Icke or whatever. But as I have done, only the once though.
David Icke.
Yeah, you search David Icke on my YouTube channel. It's there, bro. What we're going to be talking about is just the real important core issues of New Zealand. We're not going to be talking about vote for me or vote for him or vote for them or whatever. We're going to be talking about the actual structure of the government, how things are actually played in this country, so that you will know that you would never vote National, and also know that no matter who else you elect, that structure will still be there.
Exactly.
Hopefully,
exactly.
You will call for your parties to get into their election promises that they will change the entirety of the system, head side and downside and every freaking way. Because there's nothing in this country that works terribly well. For every, I think, $30 that you give the government, you get a dollar back in actual benefits.
Do you ever think a capitalist society will work?
Well, every single country that's ever had a massive exploding economy and allowed freedoms, personal freedoms, to actually flourish, have been capitalist societies. No other centrally planned economy has ever come close. Every centrally planned economy from the days of Egypt through to Russia, through to New Zealand, every time they bail out the corporations and state tax starts taking control, the people always wind up in war, famine, hunger, you know, that kind of thing. It never works. The problem is that people don't know what capitalism is anymore. They think capitalism is corporatism. Corporatism is entirely different. Corporatism is actually a what they call fascism. Fascism is when the corporations
sort of
take over the state.
Yeah.
No. It's more like, here's your two branches of tyranny, okay? Yeah. And the branch of tyranny can really be identified with how much personal freedoms it allows you to have. Does it allow you to do this? Does it allow you to do that? Or can it not disallow you to really do anything? Because if you're waiting on a government license or something like that, it means the power to give is the power to take away, much like that of taxation. they just say, oh, we're going to give you all these benefits, and then they take away all your money, and they spend that 30% or whatever that you're paying on your wages every week to pay the foreign banks, who just make the money up on a computer and loan it back to you with interest attached, so that the interest accumulates, but that interest is never printed, just the money, so that it is mathematically impossible to pay off the debt. It's like musical chairs. Eventually, somebody's going to be falling on their ass. You know, and that's the thing that's going on here. That's not capitalism. That's socialism. Okay, socialism. You have a look at the Communist Manifesto, the central planks, private central banking. Okay, what's the cause of everybody's astronomical debt? Private central banking. Why is the government always passing really draconian legislation? It's because all their funders are private central banks. Why in the hell is everybody in the entire country in debt up to their eyeballs, and all the money and all the prosperity and all the jobs drying up? Private central banks. Because they can create up to 10 times as much as they have in reserve out of thin air. All they need is your signature. You put down your signature there, then the money gets willed into existence. Now, that's a hidden tax on the people. The more money there is in existence, the less that each individual dollar is worth. So if I go in and I borrow $50 billion, that's how much New Zealand currently owes, give or take, I would double the inflation. Okay, or something to that effect. I'm just making that up off the top of my head, of course, but it still stands to reason that if you've got, say, $1 billion in the economy, let's just to keep the figures round, and I borrow then $500 million, it means that all of the $1.5 billion that are left are going to have not quite as much value, right? They'll only have one third. They'll have a third of its value taken away from it, because you're taking half and you're having it on the end. That's how inflation works. And the banks now have the ability to create all of that out of absolutely nothing. No assets, no gold, no fucking nothing. The gold standard and all of these things that people are talking about. Oh, it'll save us from this economic crisis and all this printed money. Actually, no, that ain't going to save you either, because according to a couple of Wall Street aficionados that I've spoken with, Tom Filer, who has a large trading company in Wall Street, he says that about 90% to 99% of current gold that is sold around the world doesn't even exist. They've got all these gold certificates and everything like that. The gold ain't fucking there. They're just keeping this money machine going and going and going and going and going as much as they possibly can for as long as humanly possible. They started doing it to us back in the 80s. I watched a good documentary by Alistair Barry where he was talking to this big real estate developer talking about what they did back in the 80s. And these Americans come in and they say, how much money do you want? We can loan you any amount of money you want. No problems, man, no problems. And then so he goes like, wow, I've never been offered any amount of money that I could ever conceivably want before. If you go in and try and apply for a loan at a bank or something, you got to have assets, you got to have this, that, and the other. They removed all that. And they got all the wealthiest New Zealanders massively over-leveraged into debt and mortgage so that when they purposely crashed the stock market in the late 80s, while John Key was a currency trader who made tens of millions off of his currency trades during New Zealand's massive stock market crash, mind you, all of the wealthy people and all of the wealth in this country that was made honestly was destroyed and swallowed up by the big criminal banks. You go to the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, you think that's a government agency? No, it's frickin' not. Why do you think they got a Reserve Bank governor? How many other governors do we have? Governor General, who works for the Queen directly, who has the power to dissolve Parliament like it's an acid. In fact, it would be quite an idea to dissolve the Parliament, particularly the parliamentarians an acid. But the point being, that if you walk into the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, have a guess what's right there behind the front desk. A giant red shield. How do you pronounce red shield in German? Rothschild. We're owned by a foreign banking cartel called the Rothschild family. That's how they turned us into slaves. That's how they turned us into serfs. That's how they've bought up the entire world's economy in a matter of a few decades without people knowing about it. People don't know where their money comes from. They don't know how the debt is accumulated. They don't know how inflation works. They're financially illiterate. And the bankers have made it that way so that we would sit by twiddling our thumbs, maxing out the credit cards just so we can buy some KFC at the end of the week, bro. And then they'll leave us with nothing. We'll be slaves, absolute, utter slaves. And this is something else that Aaron Russo had in a conversation with Nicholas Rockefeller. He said, he asked him, you know, what's the big plan here? What's, you know, there must be some kind of an end game. You're making all this money. You've got more than enough for yourself. You're hurting people. You're starting all these illegal wars. What's it going to take? And he says, we want control. And everybody's going to have a microchip. It's going to have all your money on there, going to have all your identification. And then if you do anything that we, the bankers, don't want, all we have to do to neutralize you is just turn your chip off. Simple as that. You won't be able to buy food. You won't be able to pay rent. You won't be able to identify yourself, so nobody will give you any money. You're dead, right? Total, utter enslavement and control. That's what the bankers want. The bankers are populated by these big psychopathic character types that I was telling you about earlier. That is their ultimate goal. Total control. Because as I mentioned, that's what psychopaths want. Power and control. What would you want if you only desired power and control? What would you want more than the will and ability to kill people whenever you want and have no comeuppance? They even have a Nicholas Rockefeller also said that there are going to be specific types of chips. One type of chips for the slaves and one for the bankers. They're going to be printed with the ID label KMA, which means kiss my ass. So anytime a cop scans a chip and says KMA, he goes, oh my God, I'm sorry, please don't fire me. Even if you've got bodies in the boot of your car and he's seen them, he'll jump out of his skin afraid and let you go. That's what they want, that kind of power. And they will no doubt get it if people aren't informed as to what the real plan is. You know, if somebody's about to scam you and you don't know this, he's probably going to be able to get away with scamming you, right? But if somebody's about to scam you and 2 minutes earlier you had a phone call from a mate going, hey, bro, there's this Nigerian scam going around, eh? And then you get that Nigerian email and you're like, oh, that's a scam. Boom. Because you identify the scam, don't you? What I'm trying to do is identify the scam. the scam that is scamming all of us and has been doing it since birth. Taxation was illegal in the United States from, I think, up until 1913. Taxation was illegal. And they had a 10% growth in their economy every year since the revolution. 1776 through to 1913, 10% growth in the economy every single year. That's what freedom, liberty, no taxation, a strong belief in the Bible, and a country that was frickin' paradise can give you. And in 1913, during Christmas, when there were only like 12 people in the House of Congress, some Rockefeller-funded politicians passed the Federal Reserve Act and gave the issuance of currency away from the people of Congress to regulate and manage its value to private corporations and a banking cartel called the Federal Reserve System. At the same time, they passed a piece of legislation to create the IRS so they could forcibly extract money out of people. And guess who used to work for the Federal Reserve in New York for 2 years as its head of derivatives? John Key. I can't hear you guys.
Mutiwihi, brother. Many good stuff. Man, this has been really interesting, this kōrero. So it's roughly 6:30 right now, and I'm going to be in a bit of trouble because I didn't cook the kids any kai.
I'll be in trouble because I didn't cook my missus any kai, bro. Don't worry. We're supposed to only do this for like an hour, weren't we?
Yeah, no, but this has been so bloody interesting. Learned quite a few things about the... Oh, I'm going to have to re-listen to this, obviously, because I couldn't get everything in one go, guys.
Yeah.
No, it's very interesting. I mean, when you have that list of that that psychopathic list in your head, like anything is possible. Where, you know, all of those are absolute possibilities. You know, because I suppose that, you know, after watching that program too, it became real prevalent that, you know, groups of people, maybe not the individuals themselves who are, you know, they're saying, oh no, but we are for humanity, yeah. But when you're contributing to the entirety of that group, you know, and what's spearheading that group is those psychopathic tendencies. You as an individual cell within that bloody entire group is, you know, you ain't going to do fuck all if you're just going to be helping, you know, helping it go along. And I suppose when you're thinking of it like that, it's like, well, fuck, you got to sort of detach yourself as well and, you know, and really get in there and at least fucking think about it differently.
Yeah. Well, I'll leave you with something positive then, shall I? A lot of people say that, oh, one man can't change the world, one man can't do anything. Really? What about Gandhi? What about Nelson Mandela? And what about on the negative side? What about Hitler? What about Stalin? Okay. Yep. All right. If anything, one man is the only thing that can change the world.
Absolutely.
Really? Absolutely. That's really what it comes down to. The masses have never changed anything. Never. Yep. Masses always go along to get along. It is the individual that lights a fire in the minds of men that allows them to burn out of control and consume your country in freedom and bliss and liberty forever. That is what you are capable of. That is your power.
I know that there's that guy that talks about like how you create light. Hey, it's like 0.007% of the particles, you know, that they need to be stimulated, and then they vibrate and stimulate everything else, which actually creates the light.
Yeah.
I think it is. So it's like, you know, but that was the kōrero towards that. So, you know, being part of that and, you know, just getting in there. And yeah, it's just been interesting as, bro.
Yeah, that's been awesome. Because our audience listeners are going to really enjoy this kōrero. You're going to offend some people. So
I hope so.
So am I. Yeah, but that's what we're expecting, isn't it?
Well, it's not necessarily what works, it's what offends people. It's about what gets repeated to people about seven times by seven different people. That's what you need in order to get people to wake up to an idea that they were never aware of. First, they'll deny it, then the second person. Thing is, it can't just be you repeating that same thing seven times because they won't listen to you. You're only one person, but seven different people say the same thing. It clicks. So that's what I'm doing is I'm just playing my fucking part, you know? I know that the truth is real hard to deal with. I had to deal with it, and it was really hard. And that's why I have to keep speaking it, so that maybe, just maybe, there'll be six other people who will say the exact same thing to you, that you'll start doing your own research, and then you won't need people like me to inform you anymore because you'll become your own teacher. I feel of myself as a perpetual student. That's why I say I'm so dumb that I don't know how dumb I really am. And thank you guys very much.
Sweet, thanks, my bro. Brother. Thank you. Mami hikiakwe.
Too much, bro.